Hey everyone, welcome back to The Deep Dive.
Glad to be here.
Today we are diving deep into some really fascinating stuff happening in China.
Yeah, things are getting pretty interesting over there, right?
They really are, and I think it's something that I think a lot of people are really curious about, because when we look at China, you know, it's this kind of this black box, right? It's this huge global player, but so much of what goes on internally is really obscured from view.
It really is a challenge trying to get a read on exactly what's happening inside the halls of power there.
Especially when it comes to, you know, the military, which is what we're going to be talking about today.
Right. We're specifically looking at some unusual developments within the top ranks of the Chinese military. This is all based on a detailed news article that we've been pouring over the past couple of days.
And it really lays out this scenario that suggests some potential power shifts and tensions and rivalries right at the highest levels of China's military leadership. Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about this all the time on the show that you know, these kinds of internal dynamics have huge implications, not just for China itself, but really for the entire global landscape.
Right. Because China's military is, you know, it's a major force on the world stage. And any instability or any kind of, you know, upheaval within their ranks could have, you know, ripple effects that we all feel.
It's something we definitely need to be paying close attention to.
So before we jump into the specifics, just to give everyone a bit of context, we're primarily working with a news report for this deep dive, right?
That's right. This report has done a lot of the legwork for us, really. They've compiled publicly available information statements from officials, you know, things of that nature. And through that lens, they've highlighted what appear to be some really significant anomalies.
These aren't just, you know, minor little inconsistencies. We're talking about things that really stand out as being unusual based on how the Chinese military and the Chinese government have typically operated in the past.
Right. And these anomalies relate specifically to the actions and even the whereabouts of some key individuals within the Central Military Commission, or CMC as it's often called, and, you know, the broader military leadership as well.
So that's our focus today, really trying to extract the core observations from this news report, understand what it's telling us, and then really dig into the possible implications of all of this. You know, what does this potentially mean, both for China and for the rest of the world?
Exactly.
Okay, so the article really kicks things off by focusing on a very specific event, Xi Jinping's inspection of troops in Kunming back on March 20th, 2025. And the thing that jumps out immediately is who was not there.
Yeah, the big headline here is that none of the members from the Central Military Commission were present during this inspection. It includes both of the vice chairman, Zhang Yuxia, and He Bidong. And the article points out that if you go back and look at the official reports of, you know, other similar visits that Xi Jinping has made within China, it's almost always the case that at least one of the CMC vice chairmen is right there with him.
It's like standard protocol, right?
Yeah, for these domestic appearances, it's very typical to see at least one of those vice chairmen there. And in this instance, there were none.
So the very top leadership of the CMC was just completely absent.
That's right. And the only high-ranking military official who was present was the Southern Theater Commander, Wu Yanan, along with someone who's believed to be the new director of the CMC General Office, Feng Yongxiang.
Okay, so nobody from the CMC itself was there with Xi Jinping in Kunming. And the article really hones in on the absence of He Weidong in particular, because they say that, you know, if he had been there, it would have been a prime opportunity to put some rumors to rest.
Right. And that takes us directly into the next major point that the article lays out, which is all the speculation surrounding He Weidong himself.
So this gets into some pretty serious allegations that were made by a former Chinese media personality, Zhao Longjian, and his claims are really at the heart of a lot of this speculation. So what exactly did he report?
So on March 13th, Zhao Longjian claimed that He Weidong, who, as we said, is a CMC vice chairman, and the article describes him as potentially the number three in the entire military structure, had been taken away for investigation just a couple of days earlier on March 11th. And this was right after the National People's Congress had wrapped up.
And that's, you know, that's a pretty big deal. The National People's Congress, it's their big annual legislative session.
It's a huge event.
So for something like this to happen immediately afterwards is definitely going to raise eyebrows.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And along with that claim, Zhao Longjian also reported that He Weidong's residences, both in Beijing and in Shanghai, had been searched.
Okay, so that's the initial claim that he's been taken away for investigation, residences searched. But the story doesn't end there, does it? It takes a bit of a turn.
It does. On March 19th, just a few days later, Zhao then alleged that He Weidong had suffered a heart attack and was hospitalized at the 301 hospital in Beijing under military guard.
That's a pretty significant detail under military guard.
Right. It adds this whole other layer to the situation. And the article goes on to say that, you know, once his condition is stable, there's a possibility that he might be transferred to the Jinxi Hotel, which has a history of being used for, you know, high-level detentions and investigations.
It's almost like a euphemism, right? When someone's at the Jinxi Hotel, you kind of know what's going on.
Exactly.
Okay. So he's hospitalized under potential transfer to this well-known location for investigations. And then the story continues even further, right?
Yes. On March 21st, just 2 days after that report about the heart attack, Zhao then claimed that a full-blown internal review was underway within the CMC headquarters.
They're really going through everything.
Yeah, it seems like they're leaving no stone unturned. The report says that they're trying to collect all of Yu Aidong's documents, speeches, photos, videos, you name it.
Wow, that paints a picture of really thorough internal scrutiny.
It does.
And the article also points out that Yu Aidong isn't the only one facing these kinds of issues. It mentions some other arrests that are potentially linked to all of this.
Right. Zhao Lanjin also asserted that the former PLA, General Logistics Department Minister Zhao Keshi, had been arrested.
So another high-ranking official?
Exactly. And what's interesting here is that Zhao Keshi also has a background in the Nanjing military region, which is the same region that Yu Aidong has ties to.
So there's a connection there.
There is. And in addition to that, Zhao Lanjin also claimed that a number of officers with connections to Fujian province have also been taken into custody.
And that Fujian connection is particularly interesting because of Xi Jinping, right?
Right. Xi Jinping has a long history in Fujian. Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of time there in his earlier career, built up a lot of connections. And so this raises some really important questions about what might be going on.
Yeah, because as the article points out, Zhao Lanjin offers a couple of different interpretations for these Fujian arrests. One possibility is that this is a purge of some of Xi Jinping's old loyalists, you know, people who he's known for a long time, but who may have fallen out of favor for one reason or another.
Right. And that's certainly a possibility. The other possibility, which kind of goes in the opposite direction, is that this could indicate that there's an anti-Xi faction within the military, and they're targeting people who are known to be close to him, trying to weaken his position.
So it's almost like two sides of the same coin, right? Yeah. Either Xi Jinping is purging his own ranks, or his rivals are trying to take down his people.
Exactly. And that question of, you know, who's really behind all of this is one of the big mysteries here. And it speaks to these larger power struggles that might be going on behind the scenes.
Right, because in China, you know, the anti-corruption campaigns have often been used as a tool to consolidate power, you know, to get rid of rivals.
Yeah, it's a classic tactic.
So it's not just about, you know, cleaning up corruption. It's about who's in control and who's wielding that power.
Absolutely. And all of this is happening while Weidong is also conspicuously absent from a really high-profile event. Right.
Yeah, he was notably missing from the symposium that was held on March 14th to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the anti-secession law.
Which is a pretty big deal.
It is. It's, you know, it's this law that basically asserts China's claim over Taiwan and lays out the conditions under which they might use force to prevent Taiwan's independence. So it's a very sensitive issue.
Right. And you would expect someone like He Weidong, a CMC vice chairman, to be front and center at an event like that.
Exactly. But instead, it was General Lu Zhenli, the chief of the Joint Staff Department of the CMC, who took his place.
And that just added fuel to the fire in terms of the speculation surrounding He Weidong and his situation.
Right. It's like, okay, he's not at this inspection. He's not at this major symposium. What's going on?
Not exactly.
Okay. So we've got this whole picture developing around He Weidong, but he's not the only high-ranking official whose absence is raising questions. The article also points to Defense Minister Dong Jun.
Yeah, and in Dong Jun's case, the big red flag is his absence from the State Council's plenary meeting, which was held on March 14th, 2025.
So this was the first meeting of the State Council after the National People's Congress.
Right, and these meetings after the NPC are generally considered pretty important because they're seen as an opportunity to, you know, convey the main points and the spirit of the NPC session.
It's like, okay, here's what we decided. Here's what we're going to be focusing on.
Exactly.
And Dong Jun's absence from this meeting is particularly noteworthy because of who did attend the equivalent meeting the previous year.
Right. The article points out that both He Lifeng, who is a vice premier and the director of the General Office of the Central Financial and Economic Affairs Commission, and Dong Jun himself were present at the same meeting the year before.
So it was the same type of meeting, same time of year, but this time Dong Jun's missing.
Right. And that deviation from what seems to be, you know, the established precedent is really what makes this stand out.
It's like, okay, why is he not there this year? Something must be up.
Right. And it's not like there's no history here. The article reminds us that back in November 2024, the Financial Times ran a report citing U.S. officials as their sources that said that an investigation had been launched into Dong Jun.
So this was a while ago.
Yes, several months ago. And at the time, this investigation was reportedly focused on alleged corruption within the military leadership.
Big surprise, right? Corruption in China. Who would have thought it?
Yeah. And of course, as you might expect, the Chinese Foreign Ministry immediately dismissed these reports. They called them baseless speculation. And to be fair, Dong Jun did make a number of public appearances after those reports came out.
Right. So he was meeting with delegations in Shanghai in December, and then he also went on a visit to Vietnam. So he was, you know, he was out there. He was visible.
We was.
Which makes his current absence even more striking.
It does. The article emphasizes that Dong Jun hasn't been seen publicly in over a week since that State Council meeting that he missed. And that's in contrast to He Leifeng, who we mentioned earlier, who, you know, he was absent from one meeting, but then he reappeared publicly on March 16th and 17th.
So it's like, okay, He Leifeng, maybe he was just sick. Maybe he had something else going on. But Dong Jun has just vanished.
Right. And that difference in their public visibility after those initial absences really just feeds into the speculation around Dong Jun.
It does. And the article digs a little deeper into the affiliations of both He Leifeng and Dong Jun, linking them to specific political groupings.
Right. So He Leifeng is described as being a close associate of Xi Jinping, going all the way back to their time working together in Fujian province. And he's considered to be part of what some people call Xi's army, or the Fujian clique.
So these are the folks who've risen through the ranks with Xi Jinping. You know, they're his trusted allies.
Exactly. And it's interesting because Dong Jun is reported to have been a subordinate of Miao Hua in the Navy. And Miao Hua is another key member of this Fujian clique we mentioned earlier, is also reportedly under investigation.
So you've got these two high-ranking officials, Dong Jun and He Leifeng, who are both connected to this Fujian clique, and they're both fencing these questions and these absences, and it really starts to make you wonder if there's something bigger going on.
It does.
Okay, so we've got He Weidong, we've got Dong Jun, and then the article broadens things out even further and points to the absence of other individuals who are reportedly loyal to Xi Jinping, and this is where things start to get really interesting.
It does. It starts to feel like there's a pattern emerging.
Yeah, so there are several other people who the article describes as Xi loyalists who were also noticeably absent from some key events during the National People's Congress.
Right, that includes General Miao Hua, who we've already mentioned, the director of the Political Work Department of the CMC, also Navy Political Commissar Yuan Huazi, and the commander of the People's Armed Police, Wang Shuning.
So three more very senior figures.
Absolutely. And they were reportedly absent from both the formations of the PLA and PP delegations, which took place on March 3rd, and then also the full meeting on March 7th.
And this wasn't the first time that some of these individuals had been conspicuously missing, right?
No. Back in late 2024, there was a ceremony for the promotion of new generals, and several of these same figures were absent from that as well.
So we're talking about Miao Hua, Yuan Huazi, Wang Chuning, and then also General Li Kiaoming and the former Army Political Commissar Qin Shutong.
Right. And at the time, those absences really sparked a lot of initial rumors and speculation about, you know, what might be happening. Are they under investigation? Have they fallen out of favor? You know, things like that.
And now we're seeing this pattern repeat itself.
Exactly. And the article does a good job of kind of laying out the backgrounds and the connections of these individuals. So Miao Hua and Qin Shutong both have their roots in the 31st Group Army,
which is a very powerful unit within the PLA.
It is. And then you have Yuan Huazi, who is described as being a close confidant of Miao Hua in the Navy. So those three are all considered to be Xi loyalists.
Right. And then Wang Chuning has what's known as a red second generation background.
Right. Meaning that his parents were high ranking officials in the Communist Party.
Yeah.
So he comes from a very elite and influential family. And he also has a long history of service in the Nanjing military region.
Which, as we talked about earlier, is the same region that He Weidong has ties to.
Exactly.
And then General Li Kiaoming, the article says that he's reported to have closer ties to CMC Vice Chairman Zhang Yuxia. So not a Xi loyalist, but potentially a part of, you know, a different faction.
Right. Potentially aligned with Zhang Yuxia.
And speaking of Zhang Yuxia, the article highlights the public appearance of one of his associates during all of this.
Yes. So despite those earlier rumors that we mentioned about him, General Li Kiaoming, who is the commander of the army, was seen publicly at both the March 3rd and 7th meetings.
So he was there while all these other figures were missing.
Exactly. And that visibility, particularly in contrast to the absence of those reported to be Xi loyalists, is really striking.
It is, and it kind of feeds into this larger narrative that the article is building, which is this idea that there's been a shift in the political landscape within the military, potentially going back as far as the third plenary session, which was held back in mid-July 2024.
Right. The article talks about how since that time, there have been growing signs that Xi Jinping's power may be waning, that he's losing control of the military. And at the same time, Zheng Yuxia, who's the other CMC vice chairman, you know, he's been making very frequent public appearances, despite the fact that he's also faced scrutiny in the past related to corruption scandals in the rocket force in the equipment development department.
So it's this weird contrast, right? Xi Jinping's people are disappearing and Zheng Yuxia's people are, you know, front and center.
Exactly. And that really reinforces this idea that the balance of power within the military might be shifting.
And then the article takes us to a very specific incident that really drives this point home. And this took place at the closing ceremony of the National People's Congress.
This is a really dramatic moment that the article highlights. So as Xi Jinping was leaving the stage at the end of the closing ceremony, Zheng Yuxia, who was sitting in the front row, reportedly just stayed facing forward.
He didn't turn around.
He didn't turn around to acknowledge Xi Jinping as he walked past. And the article points out that everyone else, did you know, other members of the Politburo, including even He Wen, who, as we've said, is reportedly under investigation himself, all turned to watch Xi leave.
So Zheng Yuxia really broke with protocol here.
He did, and in a very public way.
Yeah.
And the article suggests that, you know, this was a deliberate act, that it was a calculated political signal.
Because in China, these things are not done by accident, right?
No. There's a lot of emphasis on, you know, following the proper protocol, adhering to the political norms. And so for Zheng Yuxi to do something like this, it's a huge deal.
It really is. And the article connects this directly to all the speculation that's been swirling around Zheng Yuxia's own position and his relationship with Xi Jinping, you know, especially after those corruption cases and the rocket force and the equipment development department back in 2023.
Right, because those scandals really did raise questions about Zheng Yuxia's own standing and his influence. And then when you factor in these reports of, you know, shifting power dynamics, since that third plenary session in 2024, his actions at the MPC closing really take on this whole new meaning.
It's almost like he's saying, you know, I'm not afraid of you. I don't have to show you deference anymore.
Exactly. It's a very bold statement.
Okay, so we've got this potential power struggle playing out at the highest levels of the military. And then the article adds another layer to all of this by talking about the promotion of someone with very close ties to Zheng Yuxia within the People's Armed Police.
Right. On March 10th, 2025, it was announced that Fu Wenhua had been appointed as the deputy commander of the PAP and also promoted to the rank of lieutenant general.
And Fu Wenhua's connection to Zheng Yuxia is pretty significant.
It is. He served under Zheng Yuxia when Zhang was in command of the 16th Group Army of the Shenyang Military Region from 2007 to 2012.
So he's a known quantity to Zheng Yuxia, someone he's worked with before.
Right. And the article kind of traces Fu Wenhua's career. And you can see that he really rose through the ranks during the time that he was serving under Zheng Yuxia.
So he was promoted to division commander. He went on to study at military academies. He even studied in Germany.
And after that, he held a number of important roles in reorganized units and within the Central Theater Command. And it's worth noting that he was also appointed as the commander of the Beijing Garrison Command back in April 2020. And that happened while Zheng Yuxia was already serving as a CMC vice chairman.
So his career has really been on an upward trajectory.
It has. And this promotion to deputy commander of the PAP comes at a time when the current PP commander, General Wang Chunning, is himself facing all these questions and rumors about a potential investigation.
Right. So he's been missing from those key events that we talked about.
Exactly. And so the article suggests that, you know, with Fu Wenhua now in this position as deputy commander and with his strong ties to Zheng Yuxia, he could be in a position to really exert a lot of influence, if not outright control, over the PAP.
It's almost like Zheng Yuxia is placing his own people in key positions.
It does look that way.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about Hua Dongjun, all these missing officials, the connections to the Fujin clique, Zheng Yuxi's very public, you know, snub of Xi Jinping, the promotion of Fu Wenhua. So as we kind of pull all of this together, what's the big picture analysis that the article is presenting, and what are the potential implications of all of this?
So the article really emphasizes this pattern that we've seen in the past, where reports from overseas media often come out first before there's any official confirmation or even any statement at all from the Chinese government about problems that high-ranking military figures might be facing. And we've seen this before with people like Miao Hua, who are considered to be very close to Xi Jinping.
So it's like these rumors start circulating and then, you know, maybe months later something happens or maybe nothing happens.
Right. It's this very opaque process.
And in He Weidong's case, the fact that there's been no official word from the Chinese government about his reported detention, you know, the article sees that as a pretty strong indicator that these reports are accurate.
Yeah, they basically say that, you know, if these reports were false, the Chinese government would have come out and denied them by now.
Right, because they're very sensitive to these kinds of things. They want to control the narrative.
They do.
And the article also lays out this timeline that starts with the thud. When we first started to hear these whispers about, you know, potential problems for Xi Jinping.
Right, there were rumors about his health. There was even talk about the possibility of a coup.
Which sounds pretty dramatic.
It does. And then in the months that followed, we started to see more and more signs that maybe Xi Jinping's power was waning.
Yeah.
That he was losing control of the military. And then that brings us to all the recent speculation about, you know, him potentially stepping down from certain roles and Zhang Yixia stepping in and really taking the reins of the military.
Yeah. And the article really hammers home this contrast between what's happening to Xi Jinping's people and what's happening to Zhang Yixia's people.
Right. Xi Jinping's allies are disappearing. They're facing investigations. They're being sidelined. And at the same time, Zhang Yixia's associates are being promoted. They're making public appearances. It's a really stark contrast.
It is. And the article's conclusion is pretty significant. They basically say that all of these signs taken together suggest that there's a very real possibility that we're going to see a public acknowledgement soon of the shift in military power away from Xi Jinping.
Right. They say it's only a matter of time before this becomes undeniable.
And they argue that if that happens, it could have huge consequences for Chinese politics.
It could lead to significant changes in the way that China is governed.
So that's the big takeaway from this deep dive, right?
It is. We've gone through this news article. We've looked at all the evidence that they've presented. And the main argument that they're making is that there's a potential shift in military power happening in China away from Xi Jinping towards Zhang Yixia, and the implications of that are huge.
Yeah, it really makes you think about, you know, what does this mean for China's internal stability? What does this mean for their foreign policy? What does this mean for their relationships with other countries?
Because if Xi Jinping is losing control of the military that could embolden his rivals, it could lead to more instability. It could make China more assertive in its foreign policy.
It could change everything.
It could.
And the crazy thing is we don't know for sure what's going to happen, right? This is all based on, you know, open source information and analysis.
That's the nature of the game, right? We're trying to piece together this puzzle with the limited information that we have.
But it's definitely a puzzle worth paying attention to.
It is.
So for all of you listening out there, you know, keep an eye on China, keep an eye on these developments, because what happens there affects all of us.
It really does.
And on that note, that's a wrap for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye.